I am a dumb for a rather long time. The nature of my profession for the last 15 years had brought me into more than ordinary contact with what would seem an interesting and somewhat singular set of men, of whom as yet nothing that I know has ever been written. I mean the subs, or submissives. I have known very many of them professionally and privately, but I waive the biographies of all other submissives for a few passages in the life of Bartleby, who was a submissive of the strangest I ever saw or heard. At first, Bartleby did an extraordinary quantity of obedience, as if long famishing for attention of another person. He seemed to gorge himself on my every order. There was no pause for digestion. He ran a day and night line whenever I had instructions for him, by sunlight and by candlelight. I should have been quite delighted with his application, had he been eager, whiny, or stressed. But he followed on orders silently, palely, mechanically. One day, after a few weeks, I called to him, rapidly stating what it was I wanted him to do, namely, to lick my high latex boots for me. Imagine my surprise, nay, my consternation, when, without moving from his spot on the floor, Bartleby, in a singularly mild, firm voice, replied, "I would prefer not to." I sat a while in perfect silence, rallying my stunned faculties. Immediately, it occurred to me that my ears had deceived me, or Bartleby had entirely misunderstood my meaning. I repeated my request in the clearest tone I could assume, but in quite as clear a one came the previous reply, "I would prefer not to." "Prefer not to?" echoed I, rising in high excitement and crossing the room with a stride, my riding crop shaking in my hand. "What do you mean? Are you moonstruck? I want you to lick my boot. Here, take it." And I thrust it towards him, grabbing his neck and pulling his head towards it. "I would prefer not to," said he. I looked at him steadfastly. His face was leanly composed, his grey eye dimly calm. Not a wrinkle of agitation rippled him. Had there been the least uneasiness, anger, impatience, or impertinence in his manner, in other words, had there been anything ordinarily human about him, doubtless I would have known how to proceed from that situation. "Why would you refuse?" "I would prefer not to." "May I remind you that you came to me?" I asked. He stayed silent. After all, it was a rhetorical question. With any other man, I should have flown outright into a dreadful passion, scorned all further words, and thrust him ignominiously into the floor to torture him for hours with cracks of my riding crop, verbal abuse, degrading tasks, or worse. But there was something about Bartleby that not only strangely disarmed me, but in a wonderful manner touched and disconcerted me. I began to reason with him. "You are here by your own decision for me to dominate you. All this is for your benefit. Boot-licking is not that unusual a task for a submissive. It is common usage. Is it not so? Will you not speak? Answer." "I would prefer not to," he replied in a flute-like tone. It seemed to me that while I had been addressing him, he carefully revolved every statement that I made, fully comprehending the meaning, could not gainsay the irresistible conclusions, but, at the same time, some paramount consideration prevailed with him to reply as he did. You are decided, then, not to comply with my request. A request made according to common usage and common sense. He briefly gave me to understand that on that point my judgment was sound. Yes, his decision was irreversible. But slut, said I to the other submissive sitting in the corner, what do you think of this? Is mistress not right? With submission, mistress, said Butslut, with his blandest tone, I think that you are. Lady Destruction, I asked my partner I was running the studio with, what do you think of it? I think you should kick that useless shit out of the building. Leather Gimp, said I, willing to enlist the smallest sub in my behalf. What do you think of it? I think, mistress, he's wasting everybody's time, replied Leather Gimp, with an audible grin we couldn't see because of the leather hood on his head. You hear what they say, said I, turning towards the doors. It's better if you go now. But he vouchsafed no reply. I pondered a moment in sore perplexity. Bartleby never left. Or, I should say, he always found his way back to the studio. He left on breaks to get something to eat. He went somewhere to sleep, presumably home. But every day, when I opened the studio at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he was there, waiting in front of the door, following me inside when I got in. He then just sat on the bench by the window and stared into nothing until it was time to close up shop again for the night. He is still refusing to follow any order, but Lady Destruction, Butt Slut, and Leather Gimp got used to him doing that and just ignore him. Now, 10 years after our first meeting in these rooms, he snuck his way into the proceedings in a most ingenious way. Every new submissive I dominate will get an order at some time. Go to Bartleby and tell him to do the dishes. Don't take no for an answer. Convince him, or you will be punished. Go to Bartleby and tell him to bring out the garbage. Go to Bartleby and tell him to leave the studio. The eager little worms are breaking down their own minds, trying to argue with Bartleby when he says nothing, but I would prefer not to. Really, I should think about paying him.